So here we are then towards the end of February, and although the calendar year is in its infancy, we're reaching the end of the tax year, which in this country is the start of April. And around this time of year, a few pitfalls may come to the surface that we weren't really aware of, and they catch us out every single year. Now, joining me in the studio today is someone who can talk us through a few of those pitfalls and maybe give us a bit of very useful advice. And that is Andrew Brooke Dobson, who is the Managing Director at BDB Financial. Andrew, welcome to the studio.
Hi there, Ben. How are you?
Very good, thank you. It's great to have you in, especially at this time of year, as I said. The calendar year is in its infancy, but the end of the tax year is quickly approaching. And there's a few traps, Andrew, that people that you speak to and people in general do fall into when it comes to the end of the tax year, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few things that people should have on their radar and maybe do a bit of digging and checking out as to whether or not they're caught by them, and also whether they can do anything about. So I think, you know, one of the things we're talking about is what are those traps, but also what are some of the ways you can get out of them or move around them. They fall into several different areas. So the first one that people should generally be aware of, if they've got a rental property, which quite a few people seem to have these days, the rules are changing with regards to what you can offset against that rent for tax purposes. So especially with regards to mortgages and the interest on those mortgages. So that's changing, and that might well be catching a few people out. So that's something to double check if you do own a buy-to-let property. That's for one. Another one where I've heard a few horror stories of late is about the reclaiming the child benefit. If you earn above 50,000, then you lose it completely if you earn over 60,000. And generally speaking, that should get caught by your tax return. But I've heard a few stories recently where it hasn't, and people have had sort of 5 years worth of that reclaimed, and that's presented sort of some households I know of with some fairly uncomfortable bills to have to face up to paying.
I think that word there, awareness, is key, isn't it? And taking responsibility for your own earnings and your own tax and that sort of thing, because if it does go under the radar, it can build up over time, and then when that massive substantial bill hits you, it's gonna do some damage.
Yeah, that is the exception, Ben, rather than the norm, but if it happens, it's not a very pleasant thing. Trap that a lot of people who are members of final salary or defined benefit pension schemes have fallen foul of is that what you have contributed isn't immediately obvious. So the most common example that we've come across has been doctors, especially consultants, hospital consultants, etc., where actually it isn't really clear what their deemed contribution has been, and in many cases they've put too much in and they're facing tax charges as a consequence of that. The other one that's quite common is those who earn above, sort of at the average, who earn above £100,000. If you earn between £100,000 and £120,000, you, on a sliding scale, you lose all of your personal allowance. What does that mean? Well, it means that you have an effective rate of tax on that 20,000 of income of 60% per annum. And so there are a couple of things you can do about that. The first is, let's say you earned £110,000, you could put £10,000 into your pension that effectively brings that down, so you keep all of your personal allowance. The other thing you could do is to put £10,000 into a gift to charity.
So while we've got you here, Andrew, you mentioned there, so that's between that certain bracket, that certain threshold. Is there any sort of tips you could give to try and get your tax down for people that are earning slightly less than that amount?
Well, I think the key things come down to using some of the tax breaks that are there. So I guess that takes me on to some of the allowances. So one of those is ISAs. ISAs are a fantastic vehicle for people to either save or invest, and you can put up to £20,000 a year per person currently into an ordinary ISA. So that's something that is worth doing if you've got some money to set aside. One of the other planning opportunities that people can do, whether they're high earners or low earners, or perhaps, you know, somewhere in between, is pensions. So we still have tax relief on pensions to incentivize people making provisions for later in their life. ISAs are a really good thing. Pensions are another really good way of sort of managing some of that tax.
An ISA that is well publicised was the Help to Buy ISA, which obviously they've stopped doing now since November last year in 2019.
That's right.
But we were speaking before we came on air, Andrew, and there's another ISA that people don't really know much about, the Lifetime ISA.
Yeah, so the Lifetime ISA is great, Ben, for... So you've got to be under 40 and over 18, and it's designed for people really who are saving a house deposit. And so you can only put up to £4,000 a year in it. But each year you will get a 25% bonus from the government. And again, you can either save, i.e. put it in cash, if it's the short, you're going to be buying short in the short term, or if it's longer term, perhaps over 5 years, you can invest.
Fantastic. Well, we will put a lot more information on the Stray FM website, so you can follow it if you are struggling. Andrew, if anyone's listening that does want to find out a bit more about how you guys at BDB Financial can help them with these sort of stuff, how can they do so?
So we're on the internet, www.bdbfinancial.com, or give us a call, 01423 855 680, and we'll see how we can help.